Thank you, Ron, and good evening, everyone. And it's good to be with you again, and it's good to be back in the Word of God. And we're still working in 2 Timothy 2, and we're going to look tonight in verse 9 and 10, if we get time to get it all in. I'm pretty sure we can tonight for that. And we're still talking about the gospel. And 9 and 10 is Paul showing his faithfulness unto bonds, or in bonds, but the Companion Bible says Paul's faithful unto bonds. And we're going to look at that. But I'm going to go back and read you 8 from the last week, because we kind of hurried through that just a little bit, and I'm not going to go back to it other than just to read it, because the structure of things kind of changed a little bit. So we've got another remember here. And of course you remember that we understand that Paul is writing this to Timothy that he might remember the things that they have gone over, and maybe even some of the things that he might have missed while he was not with Paul. But they had people going back and forth to these different places and carrying this understanding. And by that, Timothy kindly stayed in touch. But so we will go back and read verse 8, because it says, remember that Jesus Christ, now, let's think back just for a second. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David. So anytime you see that Paul is going back to the Jews or to the Hebrews or to Israel, whoever you want to call them, or whatever you want to call them, Jesus was who they said would come for them. But it was Christ that Paul is preaching. And so rather than being Christ Jesus here, when he talks about the seed of David, he puts Jesus in front of Christ. So it's not Christ Jesus, it's Jesus Christ. So if you haven't already picked up on that, it might be something to kind of put back into your mind that you might remember, because Jesus was the one that was promised. And when his birth was announced, it says, or when it's said that one would come and his name would be Jesus. So here in verse 8, that was first, and I didn't want to go any further till we talked about that for a minute. Remember that Jesus Christ, he's talking to Timothy, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel. And so when Paul is preaching this, he started out to the Jew first, then to the Gentile. So he goes back to this, even with Timothy, he goes back into the Acts period for that understanding and says, remember that, Timothy, because that's important. And it's important for you as someone who is a witness to God's work through his Son, and that needs to be understood. I'll leave it right there. Basically went over the rest of it, but that part I think I might kind of left off. I felt it in my heart that I didn't tell you that, what I should have told you maybe last week. So here we go. Verse 9 says this. We're going to read it out of the King James Version. And it says in verse 9, 2 Timothy 2, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. Okay, I got some notes here, and I'm going to read my notes, and then we'll see what it says in the Koine and into English through Jack's interlinear, Jack Eberle's interlinear that we use, and the notes in the Companion Bible we use quite a lot, along with Strong's Concordances and other things in other places that we can go to get our study work. It says, wherein, and that in there is the Greek word en, and it means wherein or in which. And it's en which, not in which. In which I, Paul, suffer trouble. And the trouble here, I can pronounce. There's a lot of these Greek words that I'm not very good at, but I think I got this one down maybe. And it is kekopathio, or pathiao. And really, trouble there is hardships. Because what God was doing with Paul, he was going through these times of hardship because he is back in bonds as an evildoer again. And so the hardships always seem to follow Paul in his endeavors or his work as an evildoer. So says, in which I, Paul, suffer trouble as an evildoer. And there's another Greek word there that is somewhat similar to the hardship word. And I can pronounce it too, because there's not much difference in it. And
you've come for something.
it is keiko ergos. Keiko ergos. And it's used of Luke in the 23rd chapter in verse 32 and 33. And we're going to look at it, I think, in the notes, but we'll not look at it right now. But it was used of the malefactors that were crucified with the Lord, and they were going through their hardships, that they were going to die without hope. But one of them found hope. They were malefactors crucified with the Lord, and the rest of the verse says unto bonds, even unto bonds. And it says, but the word of God is not bound, and neither it can be. Now, there's places in the world that they can't have the scriptures. But that don't mean that they still somewhere that they can find a way in a place if they are really, really desirous of that to come to this understanding. But the fact is that when Christ comes back to the earth and he sets up David's throne, on this place, it's going to be cleaned off for a long ways, either way, back into Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, that David's throne is going to be set up in that open space. This is my thought on it. You can agree or you can disagree with it. But when Christ comes back and he sets up the throne of David there, he is going to deal with those Israelites that had the word that one would come, but they never got to see him. And guess what? I think where the throne's going to sit is where he got crucified, because that blood that was shed there when they pierced his side and blood and water come out, that's got to be reconciled to God. In my mind, it is anyway. And so that's what he gave up when he was crucified on the cross. But what he gave for us, he did it in the very throne room of God in the heavenly places, not in Jerusalem, in the heavenly places. But you see, Ronnie did a study on blood back a few years ago. And we talked about blood. And we went through all the places where blood was shed. And we determined at that time, or at least I did through his teachings, I determined that blood had to be accounted for. And so the blood of Christ for these that didn't get to see Christ has got to be accounted for, and what better place it would be to account for it than it would be at the throne of David, because Christ is now without anybody, but he's sitting at the throne of the Father. So when he gets that throne as being from the tribe that David, the tribe of Benjamin? When that throne is set back up there, and I think he's going to take up that spot where he first gave the first drop of blood.
Christ's tribe was Judah.
Huh?
Christ's tribe was Judah.
Judah?
Yeah.
Okay, the tribe of Judah. I didn't go back. I didn't go back to look that up. So I was just, that's what I'm trying to, and that's the reason Paul's telling Timothy to remember. He says, get your things straight, boy. So I didn't get that straight right there.
That's
but,
okay.
That's the way I see the way that's coming off. And you can agree or disagree, but, if you disagree with it, we'll look it up. And if you find something different from that, well, let me know. Let me know through Ronnie, and we'll get involved in that. Okay. Now, let's see what Jack says. Jack says in the Workman's Interlinear, into verse 9, it says, and this is the way it reads out of the Koine Greek. And it says, in which suffer hardship, in which I suffer hardship unto bonds as evildoer, but rather the word of the God not bound. And down to the more modern English, it says, in which I suffer hardship unto bonds as an evildoer, but rather the word of God is not bound. And so Jack's notes is very, very small on this, but it comes to the point. Paul's lot brought him to incarceration. Humanly speaking, it truly was hardship. The chains that he endured were not something any human being look to acquire. Since he is in bonds, he is perceived by the general populace who, as unbelievers, they looked at him as a malefactor, the same as the two that were brought out with Christ and crucified, one on either side of him, okay? Yet he is able to speak and to teach the Word of God. And so that's what Jack left for us in that. And we got a few places there to look for. And so let's get started on looking. And I usually do this by starting with the earliest scripture first and going to the last scripture. Now, it's not in Jack's book listed that way. But yet, I like to start at the earliest and go down to the way it's put in the scripture, because it seems to be a little more compacted that way, if you want to put it into a word that gives you the understanding. So let's go all the way back. Let's go all the way back to Isaiah. And we're going to go to Isaiah 55, and we're going to look at verses 8 through 12. That's all. If you have a companion Bible, now that's on page 1001. 1001.
In the CV.
Here's what Isaiah said, 8 through 12. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Well,
that's bad.
Pretty plain, strain, plain, straight, and forward. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So, if he's making a distinguishing between the two, that's a really good one to go to. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereunto I send it. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. So he says, I've set it up. Now here I am here, you're there. That's the way my thoughts are. My thoughts are here, and yours are there. Because the earth is all you know, but I know everything. You know,
very limited view of everything.
All this stuff is, that's beautiful. It just can't get much better than that. But it does. Absolutely does. Okay, the next one now, in verse 9, we're going to Luke. We're going to Luke 23, we're going to look at 32 and 33. That's what Jack had in his notes. So Luke 23, That is on page 1506. And we're going to look at 32 and 33, or 33 and 34. 32, 33, oh, in verse 39 and 40. Okay, we're going to skip a few verses. 32, and it says, this is on page 1505. I'm sorry, I have 1506, but 1505. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. Called Calvary, they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And I'm going to read 34 because it said, then said Jesus, and this is the prayer, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots, because that was also in the things that were going to happen when the event took place. Okay, then we're going to look at 39 and 40 on the same page, or in the same chapter. It might not be on your same page, but it is on mine. And 39 and 40 says, and one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, he didn't say Jesus, he said, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answered, rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? So you see, they were all in the same boat.
Same boat, yeah.
So to speak. And so that's something we need to remember, but I'm not sure either one of them were Jews. They said Christ. They didn't say Jesus. If thou be the Christ. So that's the reason I went back to verse 8. So that kind of burned in my mind right there, something that I didn't really get across maybe last time we were studying. Okay. So I tried to get that worked out and worked in there. Okay. Now, I added this one to it. So if you've got a Workman's interlinear in front of you, it won't be in the notes there, because sometimes I do this too, because I see things that maybe I would like to bring forth. And so, and I'm sure Jack had to cut down on some of his stuff sometimes because of the amount that he had. And I'm sure he had a bigger amount than I do, because he had been in this business of teaching the Word of God longer than I did. Okay, so I want to go to John, to the book of John, and look at John 18. And on, in John 18, that's on page 1566. I got that page right anyway, if you have a companion Bible. And I want to look at verses 37 to 40 on page 1566. John 18, 37 through 40. And this is still, it's another part of this whole thing, and looking at it by someone else. And we're not talking now about the malefactors, but we're talking about Pilate here. He was the leader of that area where this was being done. Pilate therefore said unto him, and I'm sure this was Christ, art thou a king then? And Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. So he said, Pilate, I'm going to answer it this way. You say that I'm a king. Now, he didn't have to say it. But see, that's the way it come out. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice. And Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and said unto them, I find in him no fault at all. 39, but you have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto the King of the Jews? Because he called him the King of the Jews twice.
Yeah.
Then cried they all again, saying, not this man, but Barabbas. Now, Barabbas was a robber. He hadn't killed nobody. He hadn't created a real, real bad, hadn't broken a real bad law, I guess, if you want to put it that way. But he had stole something.
Evidently, it was bad enough. It was about to get him killed.
yeah, okay. Well, he was in jail as a robber. I don't know where they were going to kill him or not,
yeah.
But he was incarcerated.
That's a good point.
Let's put it that way. Okay, but you see, I got thinking about that, and I said, well, we need, as the old guy on the radio, Paul
Harvey.
What was his last
name? Harvey.
Harvey. Paul Harvey, you say this is kind of the rest of the story here. And I felt like the need there was to do that. So, okay, let's go again. Let's go to Philippians 2. And if I can find it. Let's see, it's past Corinthians, yeah, and Ephesians, to Philippians chapter 2, okay, and we're going to look in Philippians 2, we're going to look at verses 5 through 8, and this is on page 1775. If you have a companion Bible. And it's the three last verses of scripture that are on this page. And it says this, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now it's not Jesus Christ, but it's Christ Jesus. Because Philippians is one of the last seven books that was written. And so he knows now that Israel has been set aside. And so it's Christ Jesus. You see it?
Amen.
Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Well, God and the Son work as one. And the Holy Spirit answers to the Son. Now, he has went and gave his blood and his breath and is back into heaven with a head, but awaiting his body, which is his inheritance. And that's you and I. Okay? But he made of himself no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man or men. And that's a full stop there. Oh, we need to stop and think about that for a second. He didn't make of himself any reputation, but he took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. M-E-N. This deals with everyone. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Oh, one of the worst ways that a man could die. The sword would be quick. Spear would be quick. All these things would be quick. But they nailed him to a tree.
Yep. Cursed is all that hang on the tree.
And his own body did the rest of the work unto, you see, all the weight of Christ pulled down upon all his organs. And took care of that because he died first. God had mercy on him. And they went to break their legs so they would die, and he was already dead. So Christ didn't, they didn't have to break a bone in his body. And that was understood also. Okay, let's go from Philippians to Hebrews 4. Okay, so we're going on toward the end of the book. And we'll go to Hebrews 4 as soon as I can find it. Here we go. In Hebrews 4. We're going to look at two places. We're going to look at Hebrews 4, 9 through 12. That's on page 1828. And then we're going to go to chapter 12, and that's on 1842. But let's do one at a time. Hebrews 4, 9 through 12. And that's on page 1828. And it says this. In 8, it said Jesus had given them rest. And 9 says, there remaineth a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own work, as God did from his. You remember the seventh day, all the way back to Genesis. It goes back to that word, G-E-N. That means God's gift to man. Every time you see the word G-E-N in a English word, you can think about, if you don't say it out loud, you should think about it. This is God's gift to man. Hey, there's always all these little things that we need to understand if we don't already, because that's part of my job. Let us labor, therefore, verse 11, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Verse 12, for the word of God is quick, and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even unto the dividing asunder. And marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Sometimes if you got a little time, go back and break this thing down, verse 12, and make your own study out of that, because it is really something that you need to do. Okay. We read that, so we're going to go to Hebrews 12. Let me find it. In Hebrews 12, we're going to look at 1, 2, and 3. That's on page 1842 to start with. And it goes in to 1843. One verse, 1 through 3. The first verse is on one page in my Bible, in the companion Bible. We're going to look at 3 verses here. Wherefore, and it says, seeing we also are compassed about with a so great a cloud of witnesses. Do we see that now? We should, but probably we don't. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run. You remember a few studies ago, we talked about the soldier and the athlete. Here he is talking to Timothy and says, Timothy, man, you got to run. You got to run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now, we have went back one dispensation, because Hebrews was a book that come out of Acts early. Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endureth such a contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. It would bring you down to something like unbelief. You know, if you faint, you have no thoughts. So let's put it that way, maybe. That it goes beyond our thoughts of what we have just read, even in another dispensation. Because, you see, I think Paul wrote Hebrews. Some people say he didn't, but I believe he did. And he told them earlier in the book of faith, we call it, that you needed somebody to take you off the milk and put you on the meat of the Word of God. And so he said, here I am. You're of the family of God, but you don't act like it, and you don't know what it is you need to do, but I'm here to kind of straighten you out. And I think these were the children that were born during the 40 years in the wilderness, and their parents had all died. And whenever they crossed over the River Jordan, they really didn't know what to expect when they come to that point. Because after one battle, they messed up. And that was the Battle of Jericho. When they went to Ai and tried to take the little place of Ai, they failed to do what God wanted them to do because of the things that went on even at the end of the first battle. Oh, man. We got to keep our guard up. You know, we talked a few weeks ago about the soldier, but here we're talking about running a race or getting involved in these things. And we go back to the soldier and athlete again. It seems like he has ways of showing it in one place, one thing, and a way of showing it in another place, in even, you know, not far apart the other way, because it's who he's talking to. And these people needed teaching. They needed teaching that maybe their mom and dad didn't do because they murmured in the wilderness and they're lying under the ground over there somewhere because God had sworn vengeance upon them and the earth opened up and swallowed them up. You see, a lot of these people that came across the Jordan River were young people. A lot of the old people didn't make it. Because some of them kind of looked back like Lot and his wife looked back when Sodom and Gomorrah was being destroyed. And Lot's wife looked back. Well, that told God that she wanted to go back to what was there. And he didn't have that. He wasn't going to have that. And she turned into a pillar of salt. So, you see, we can fit all these things that we know concerning God's Word into a lot of this Scripture that we're doing. And the sense, and boy, I'm running out of time. Here we are. Okay. Got one more. The book of James. And I like the book of James, too. But we're going to look at James 5. That's on page 1853 if you have a companion Bible. I keep saying it, but, you know, I'm not with you in person, so I have to remember to give you the page number because a lot of people say, well, I can keep up with page numbers better. Okay, 10 to 13. And here's another one that part of it's on one page and part of it on another if you have a companion Bible. Okay, James says this. Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, afflictions, and of patience. Verse 11, behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. That was 11. We're going to look at 12 and 13 now. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath. But let your yea be yea, and your nay be nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. And I added, 13 to it. Is any among you afflicted? So James is asking a question here. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Well, you know, that was what went on during the time that they lived under the law. Okay. Got that one. So let's go back to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 2, and look at verse 10. I'm going to read it out of King James again. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Now we're back into our own dispensation, and it's Christ Jesus. You see how that works? So I didn't think I told the story when I told you that, but you know, this, the word gives it to you plain as it can. Okay. So therefore, it says, I endure all things for the elect's sake. And therefore is on account of this, I, Paul, endure all things that beset me for the elect's sake, that they may also, or also may, either way you want to read that, doesn't change it, obtain or come to see and know, or come to see and vow unto God to salvation, which is in Christ Jesus, that the Holy Spirit distributes with eternal glory. Okay. Let me read you what Jack says. We don't have very much to read here in Scripture, so won't take but a minute to do that. So we're going to go to 10. And so verse, and we look at it down from the Koine Greek. And here's the way it comes out. Through all things, the all things, I endure through the elect, that also they salvation may obtain, which is Christ Jesus with glory age. So the age he considers to be glory. When you're with him, it is glory, 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 glory. Okay. And in the more modern English, though, or through this, I endure all things through the elect, that they also may obtain salvation, which is in Christ Jesus with age of glory. With the age of glory, or the glory of the age. Paul knew that God was using him to minister the good news, Jack says, of the mystery to many, that some would come unto the acknowledgement of his headship. Through many difficulties and opposition, confronted him from the misguided human beings and cunning Satan that Paul had to endure. Thus he would be seated with Christ at the Father's right hand. The age of glory is granted the duration of God's will. So glory is a duration of God's will, and he talks like there's no end to it. So here we are. You know, when you see the word forever and all this stuff that goes along with it, you need to look and see what it means. But it's the duration of God's will, and God's will, as far as I can see and understand, it doesn't change. Okay, let's look at we ain't got but two or three of these, and let me get my notes back up here. We'll go to 2 Corinthians 4. Okay. 15 through 18. 1734 is a page. And we're going to look at 15 through 18. Here we go. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. So here it goes back into Corinthians, which is a dispensation before. He said, yeah, we've seen him, but we don't see him now. Okay? Verse, 17 and 18. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, full stop. Think about that. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God. And he is the all things. Sometimes the is not in front of that. But that's the way it comes out. And after Israel had been set aside, who hath reconciled us to himself by who? Jesus Christ, and hath given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. Goes right back. You can tell what dispensation you're in. By the way, it's either Jesus Christ or Christ Jesus, the way it's put forth. It's so simple a kid can understand it. But sometimes you got to have it pointed out to you. Okay. 1 Thessalonians. We don't get there much. I thought I had it marked. Yeah. 1 Thessalonians 5, 9 and 10. And that's on page 1793. And we're going to look at 9 and 10 here. We're about done. It said, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord. Not Christ Jesus, but Jesus Christ. Thessalonians is written earlier. It's not one of the last seven epistles. Who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, that we should live together with him. So, you know, what can I say? 1 Timothy 1. Yeah. 1 Timothy 1 was surely one of these last. We're going to look at 14 and 15 on page 1801. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all exception. Acceptation, if I can get it out of my mouth, that Christ Jesus, whoa, yeah, came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him in life to life everlasting. So you see, when Paul was first called unto this job, it was to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. And he went back to that in this first scripture. So don't misunderstand what I'm saying, but see, I obtained mercy that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering. Because you see, Gentiles then were being, the ones that had faith were being brought in to the hope of Israel because they didn't have a hope until Paul got this understanding and what? And Israel was set aside in Acts 28:28. Okay? Let's turn the page and turn to 1 Timothy 3. We've got two places. 3:13 and 14. That's on 1803 if you have a companion Bible. 13 and 14 says this, for they that have use of the office of a deacon will purchase themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. So in 1 Timothy, Paul wanted to get back with Timothy real bad. Okay, we got one more. 1 Peter. We're going past Hebrews and going to 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5. I can get the page turned. 1 Peter 5, we're going to look at 10 and 11, and we're going to call it off. Well, we've talked about a lot of good things tonight. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you suffered a while, make you perfect, establish and strengthen and settle you. In verse 11 says, to him be glory and dominion forever. Amen. And he says in 12, by Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein you stand. So you see, he had understanding there that Peter said maybe back early in Acts would have said would be hard to understand. Because you see, Peter had the understanding that he would go to the Jew and Paul would go to the Gentile. But you see, even that turned out to be Christ Jesus. So it had gotten to Paul. I mean, it had gotten to Peter, too. Somewhere down the road, it had gotten to Peter. And so we look at all these things, and we wonder about them and see the things worked out, but we realize and we understand that, yeah, you got a right to divide the Word of God to come to the truth concerning His will and concerning our Lord Christ Jesus.
Amen.
I'll leave you with that good thought, because I don't know anything that I could say would be any better than that. Glory be to God for his great precious Son that came and did what he had to do, that we might have the hope that we have this day. Our hope is complete in him.
Amen.
May God bless all of us.
Amen.